What a privilege. And I can tell you that my wife and I and our two children that are here feel that way. What a privilege to be with you all this weekend. And what a wonderful thing, as we have sung tonight, to be a channel. And that's what the Lord wants out of you and I. That we would be channels of blessing. That in fact, that those that are with us would not be occupied with the vessel, but they will be occupied with the message that you and I bring. What a wonderful thing that is. And there's a sister in the Word of God that her life exemplifies this song that we sang tonight, more about Jesus. That's what she knew. And we're going to talk tonight about some things that each one of us do in our Christian life. And I'm happy to say, although many brothers knew this, the Lord used a sister to exemplify and to bring this to light. I want you to turn first, because we're going to look at several scriptures, at Luke chapter 10. And I'm just going to emphasize one part of this account that you all here are all familiar with. I realize that. Maybe I'll read just a couple of verses. It says, Luke 10 in verse 38, it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. I'll read that again. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. More about Jesus I would know. More of his fullness, more of everything about him. Mary realized that it was essential in her life for the Lord here to learn more and more and more every day about him. You know, I was thinking as I was looking over verses and running verses through my mind that we live in a world where there are lots of discouraged people. There may be some here tonight. And Hebrews says to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And some of us may have some of those, you know. A bit discouraged about the way. This is the remedy. This is the remedy for discouragement in the life of a Christian. Mary knew that. The priorities in Mary's life. And that's a big problem for so many of us. Martha, we realize, was engaged in a service for the Lord. But somehow, as we often do, the scales kind of got tipped out of the way. And what Martha thought was most important was not most important. There was something that was most important. And dear young people, it's a choice. It is a choice for you and I as to what we're going to go in for and what we're going to be occupied with. It says that Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Don't you? Look at what's happening to me. My sister has left me to serve alone. Lord, I have an idea. This is what I want you to do. How many times do we go to him in that way? Lord, I know what can fix this problem. I want you to bid her that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing, how important. You might have 100 things in your life. And I know as young people, there's lots of pressures. There's lots of voices that are calling, saying, come, spend your time here. Spend your time here. Spend time with me. I want to talk to you about this. One thing is needful. Hath chosen. What a word. I say again, what an encouragement for the sisters here tonight. That the Lord has used a sister in Scripture to set before all of us that know Him
that here was one that in her life, her priorities were well established, and she knew by the grace of God what was needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. Mark this next part. That the Lord says, Martha, it shall not be taken away from her. Mary sat still. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Now, you know, the wonderful thing about a conference is that it's a time when the Lord brings us together to reflect upon our own lives. Oftentimes we're apt to reflect upon the life of somebody else. Well, she's got a lot of problems, or he's got a lot of problems, or this, or that, or the other. But in the quietness of the evening tonight, you know, what's a good thing? Before the Lord, to honestly evaluate in my life, do I have time for Him? Do I have time to hear His voice? Am I sitting at His feet? And am I hearing His word? The Lord says, remember, it shall not be taken away from her. It is that good part. So the word sitting is a word that comes before me as I think of something which all of us do. Boys, girls, we all sit. Is there anybody here that's never had a crisis in your life? Some of you have had more than others of us have. But the time in His presence is the preparation for whatever is before me in my life. Turn to John 9. We'll look at the second time. John 11. John 11, we all know. You see, this is the wonderful thing. These aren't new things. And you know something, young people? When somebody brings you something new, you run from them. It's the things that we've heard over and over. And we've said to you, Emil and I have said many times in John, God's word bears repetition. I can never hear it too much. I can never have it set before me too many times. And so we have this very familiar story of Lazarus and of the death of Lazarus. And I'm just thinking especially of verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But look at this. Mary sat still in the house. Isn't that lovely? This was the one that had learned that sitting at the feet of Jesus would be the means for the answers for everything in life that she came up against. And here came the time, the crisis, and Martha ran, and I'm not speaking against Martha. I'm just saying what a wonderful thing to see that Mary, at this time, she sat still. That's hard for some of us to do. It's harder if you're younger. But we always, with Christopher and Rebecca back there, sit still, kids. I wonder how many times they heard that in their life. Difficult to sit still, isn't it? But it's what the Lord says for you and I to do. To be still in His presence. And in this time of crisis, Mary sat still. What a place of safety. What a place of help and refuge. The realization as we had today that there are divine resources for you and I as Christians. But I'm not able to avail myself of those resources when I'm hurried up and bothered in all about this world. It's those who sat still in His presence. Now, the time finally came. We remember verse 28. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, listen to this, the Master is come. The Master is come. And Mary, He calleth for thee. He calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. She arose quickly. And she came unto Him. What a wonderful thing. That there is a sister that had learned her place at the feet of Jesus. And she had learned much from Him. And a time of crisis came. And she had learned to wait. And to wait quietly in the presence of one who didn't know what a crisis was. Do you get that? He's never in a hurry. He was never late. He was never ruffled. He never knew any of those things that are so common to us. And she sat still in the house. And finally, that voice comes. And it says, Mary, the Master calleth for thee. And then she was ready. She arose quickly and she went to Him. And I think that we know the rest of that story. So that's the first thing I ask you tonight. Do we know, old and young here, what it means to sit? Before I can walk, and before I can run, I need to learn to sit. And I need to learn to sit still in His blessed presence. Having learned to sit quietly in His presence, I will soon learn, and I'm going to quote just some references that I think that you know from the book of Ephesians. Because you see, we've had today that you and I are lights. We're those that are witnessing in this world for the Lord Jesus. Now, the first thing that I do in my witness for Christ is not tell people. There's something that comes far quicker than me telling people anything. Do you know what that is? That's what I show them by my walk. They see. They know long before they have talked to you and I that there's something different about her. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? I've been watching you. I've heard that. I've heard that in the army especially. I've been watching you. And I know there's something different. Well, the first thing the Lord has called us to in Ephesians 2 is good works. We are His workmanship. Do you realize that, young people? Do you realize what a wonder that is? That God looks at you and I. He even looks at John and says that. My workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you and I, we should walk in them. Isn't that wonderful? And so long before people have listened to us, they've been watching our walk. Now, how is our walk? Well, Ephesians tells me a lot of things about our walk. I am to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I've been called. I am to walk worthy of the one that I belong to. I am to walk, and you are to walk circumspectly. Not as a fool. I'm redeeming the time. You and I are here redeeming the time because the days are evil. I remember some years ago at Grove City, we had emphasized over and over, there are people that say that you and I should be different. You've heard that. Christians should be different. I'm not sure the Scripture says that. I think Scripture says we are different. We are different. And your life and mine should reflect the fact that I have set of priorities. That I live in the light of another world. I live in the light am not to walk as other Gentiles walk. Now, what a word is that in this world that we live in? What's the most common excuse that people give for doing something? Everybody's doing it. Mom, don't you realize that? Dad, everybody's doing it. Well, you know they may be. There may be many people that are walking as they shouldn't walk. But you and I, we are different. We walk not as other Gentiles walk. What's another walk from Ephesians? Well, we walk in love. I thought of this afternoon. As we were speaking, am I? Are you your brother's keeper? If you see one of your friends doing things, hanging around with people they shouldn't be, what do we do? Do we just be quiet? Or do we seek an opportunity to help them? It may be that the brethren in the meeting, they don't even know anything about it. Or the sisters, or the mothers in the meeting, they're not aware of it. But you see it, and you're a sister who knows, you know, that's a dead end she is on, and she's my friend. That's a dead end the guy is on. That stuff is dangerous that he's fooling with. What do we do? Are we quiet? Do we not say anything? We are our brother's keeper. We walk in love. We walk and we seek the good of those that we walk with. What a wonderful thing that is. What are some of the other walks that we have in Ephesians? There are a number of them there. I'm just going to stop with those right now because I don't want to go more than an hour and a half tonight with you all. That sound like a good time? We walk. And we walk with others. And we walk with Christ's interest in view. So, we've had tonight that we sit and we sit at Jesus' feet. The crisis comes in, and because I've been there, I'm able, with God's help, to weather whatever that storm is. And then we saw that we are walking and we are caring for others that we're walking with. That we are, in fact, a channel of blessing, and that the Lord is using us to help one another in this walk that we have here. That's a nice thought. Well, sitting, walking, what's next? Running? Ah, that's nice, isn't it? Sitting, walking, turn, if you would, to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. You know, I would say as we're turning, isn't the Word of God exciting? These are wonderful thoughts. We know what it means to run. We know what it means to be in a race. Every one of you in this room, in one way or another, has been involved or seen a competition. You've seen the Olympic Games. Some of the guys might look at auto racing or something. We know what it means to be in a race. Well, you and I, we're running in a race. Now the question is, how are we running? The Galatian believers, you know what the Apostle Paul had to say to them? Ye did run well. That's a terrible thing. That's past tense. What's going on? What's happened in your life? Paul says to those believers at Galatia. He says, I remember the time when you were going on. You did run well. Who hath hindered you? Ye should not obey the truth. There I get a little key to something. That when I begin to run poorly, it's going to be directly related to my relationship with Christ and my relationship to the written Word. You did run well. Who hath hindered you that ye should not obey the truth? Now that's the negative side. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verse 24. We'll just start reading there. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. I love this. So run. This is what God says to you and I. So run that ye may obtain. Ah, that's a good thing for you and I, isn't it? We have seen the games a few years ago especially. It was not uncommon, I guess, in any part of the States or anywhere to see those that were up in the morning early. And they were running. And they didn't have a pizza on their side, and they didn't have a bottle of Coke over here or a couple Snickers or whatever. You see, they knew that they were in a race. And they knew that, in fact, is what we have here, that there weren't going to be two people that were going to come in first. Lance Armstrong. How many of you knew about Lance this last year? You know, what a race. There weren't going to be two. There was going to be one that was going to win. And we look and see in the world of sports today what lengths men will go to be number one. Well, that's not what we're talking about here, is it? That's not the race that we're in. One receiveth the prize. But he says to you and I, listen, my dear child, dear Christian, I want you to so run that you might win that prize. Every man that striveth, these are strong words. We know what it means. What does it mean to strive? I press toward the mark. Can you see the athlete there? Can you see the games and what is going on? And he's pressing forward. This is the terminology the Lord Jesus uses to speak to you and I about our life for Christ in this world. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, look at the comparison. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Do you know what has happened to the crown? Or whatever Lance Armstrong got last year. You know what's happened to the gold on that crown in the last year? It's begun to tarnish. And next year or the year after, the glory of that crown will be gone. And men will say to him, well, wait a minute, Lance. Where did you come in this year? That's all they care about. Or racing, or horse racing, or auto racing, or boxing, or whatever you want to, whatever the sport is you'll call. The crown that men receive is a corruptible crown. But what does it say here? But we, an incorruptible. What a day that is going to be. Remember what Paul said? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and listen to what Paul can say. He envisions the moment when the Lord Jesus is giving him that crown in that day, which he shall give me at that day. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. Is it true of me? Am I running this way? I love to say again, this is the beauty of a Bible conference. That the Lord comes in and he does what he did this afternoon. He convicts one of his ways. And he helps him to do a 180. He does a turnaround. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but he says, I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection and so on. What a wonderful thing. You're running in that race. You tonight are a soldier. You're an athlete. You're a farmer. We look at all of these things that Scripture shows us of the place that we are in. Now, I think of one other reference to race. Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Have I given you any verses tonight that are new to you? Anybody hold their hand up and said, I've never heard of these verses? You see, the great effect, the great question is, what verse or what effect has this verse on my life right now? That's the wonderful thing. Hebrews 12. We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'll read the verses and then I'll comment. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then I'm reminded, pointed back to Calvary, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're talking a while ago about Lance Armstrong. You remember his backpack? Anybody remember that? Remember the saddlebags on his bike? No? I don't remember those either. You know what? If he were to talk to you about his race, and I'm sorry to tell you, he's not a believer. He gives God no glory for his cure of cancer. Don't know whether you know that or not. He gives God no glory. But I can tell you this, that if he were to give you a little lecture on how to win a bicycle race, he would say to you, you make it as light as you can, because it will hold you back in the race. It'll keep you from excelling. To do your best. You know what the Lord says? He says, my dear child, there are a lot of things in the lives of a lot of Christians that may not be wrong in and of themselves. But he says they're a weight to you. They hold you back. They keep you from doing your best for him. But you know one thing the Lord will never do? He'll never lay your weight aside. You never, me, Emil, our brethren, he'll never lay aside for us what he's waiting for us to lay aside. This is an exercised heart. It says in the language of what we had today, I want to serve him. I want, even as young people, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. And I want to serve him in the very best way I can. And the Lord says, well, listen, if you want to do that, you need to look at areas of your life that are holding you back and that are keeping that. Maybe what I listen to, maybe what I look at, maybe where I go. You see, lay aside every. What does that mean? Every. You see, the Lord says, I mean business about this. And I want you to mean business too. Lay aside every weight. Look at this next part. And the sin. Is there something? And sitting here tonight, I know in my life. It's not justice awaiting. It is a sin. Sin, young people, which doth so easily beset us. You know what? We are no match for the enemy. We realize that? We are no match for the enemy. And when I get in sin, I will fall every time, all the time, without faith. The sin which just so easily besets us. Oh, he says, and having set that right, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before you and I. But as we had today, we're in a world where men are at home. They're happy here. They think that everything in this world is, you know, there's a few problems, but what a wonderful place to be. And the Christian is one who is saying, there's another world. There's another world that is before me. And there's another man that is before me. And I'm running here as I'm looking there. As my heart is occupied with that man there, I'm able to run with patience this race here. Isn't that wonderful? This is Christianity. Do you know, young people, you know what I can say to you tonight? This is normal Christianity. This is what the Lord has for you and I. To sit at His feet, to walk in love, to walk in good works, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, to walk not as other Gentiles walk, and to realize that I am in a race. I'm in a race. And the Lord says, I want you to run so that you might obtain. Now I'm going to close with some very encouraging verses to me from the book of Isaiah. Back in the Old Testament, we're going to start with verse 28, and I'll just read them through to the end. Isaiah 40, 28. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. If you don't know these verses by heart, I'd love to get an email from you, and I'd love you to tell me, Brother Chuck, I've learned these verses. I'd love for you to say, the Lord has spoken to my heart through these. Now listen to what He's saying to us. Hast thou not known? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, do you know what? He doesn't faint. He fainteth not. Do you know what else is true of Him? He's never weary. We know what it is to faint. We know what it is to be weary. There is no searching. What wonder. There is no searching of His understanding. And do you know something? He has a personal interest in your life. Is that not amazing? That the Creator has an interest in these little specks of dust on this globe called the earth. He put us here. There is no searching of His understanding. And we talked about a source of strength, one to help, one to encourage. Listen what He does. Are you faint? Ah, He says, I have what you need. He giveth power to the faint. Ah, I say, that's wonderful, isn't it? That I'm walking here for Christ, that I'm feeling the pressures of this world and of this system, but I'm running that race, and my heart is set upon Him. He giveth power to the faint. And look at this. To them that have no might. You say, well, that's me. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You say, wouldn't I like to know more about that? Wouldn't I want to know more in my Christian life? One that is never weary. One that gives power to the faint. One that increases strength for those that have no might. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But mark this. And I'll tell you something. You'll probably find it's one of the most difficult things in your Christian life to do. They that wait upon the Lord. You know why I have so many references to wait? Because we have such a hard time doing it. We have such a hard time waiting and being exercised and saying, Lord, I want to put this matter, this decision, in your hands. They that wait upon the Lord, listen to what the results are. He says they shall renew their strength. What a wonderful thing. But it's further than that. We talked of sitting. We talked of walking. We talked of running. But look at what is happening in this verse. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Can I tell you something, dear young believer? That's His promise to you. That's His promise to you. He says, you wait upon me. You give your life and your decisions into my hands. And this is what you will experience. This is not an experience in heaven. This is the experience for you and I here upon earth. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful Savior we belong to. What a wonderful God. We sang tonight of the wonder of redemption. That He has purchased us, our brother said this afternoon, from this slave market. He's pulled us up out of the pit. He's set our feet upon the rock. He has established our goings. And He has put a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. And then He comes with verses like this. Do you know something? If there's failure in my life as a Christian, or if there's failure in your life as a Christian, it's your fault. I'll say that again. If there's failure in your life or mine as a Christian, it's our fault. He has provided us with everything that is needful. He's given us and provides everything for our wilderness journey. The great question, where am I? Am I exercised before Him? Am I seeking His mind and His will? Oh, I tell you, when we do that, you will come up to me or to Emil or to Jake and you'll say, how rough, how perfect, how loving, how fitting this blessed one is. Let's just close our eyes and ask God's blessing.